Rattle and Skydog probably found a good, you know,
well, quantity of alcohol. I know that for a fact that Skydog was very happy with his wife, or whatever her name is. And I don't expect to see them this morning, considering they are doing the space track.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny.
Nobody just went to go get him and knock on his door to see if he was there.
Yeah. Who knows about Johnny? Then.
Who went to go get him? Nobody. Why'd you say you sent somebody? I did. I sent nobody. What? Who's on first?
Yeah. That was. Other than that, who else was there?
Ilanka, unofficially.
What, nobody's got any fucking beer?
Yay. Rattle.
There's no left?
One person.
Jesus Christ.
I got a red bright bottle.
Where's the party, goddammit?
You know, that kid that was right up front, he was the one that was actually going to start everything.
Oh.
The one that took over.
Wait, didn't we actually used all the beer?
Yeah, the beer got drunk. Every bottle was empty by the time I cleaned this place out at 3 in the morning.
Raise your hand if you want to sleep.
I just woke up. So.
Sleep for the wicked.
Well, of course, home for me is only about 15 minutes north of here.
Oh, okay. I just pulled an all-nighter.
You had to give me a ride home.
By the way, Elvis Costello? I love Elvis Costello.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, that's not Elvis Costello.
Yeah, any attractions? I saw him with the Imposters not too long ago at the Ryman when he came through. It was a really great show. Elvis is just a total class act. He really is. I don't believe it. I made it to his damn talk.
And nobody else
was
here.
Originated line, take my wife, please?
I don't know.
Was that somebody else?
Oh, no, it's possible.
Which one? Henny Youngman.
Okay, that's who it was.
I can't see the similarity.
Well, I don't know for
sure. So far, we've had one good topic, and that was cryptographic secured viruses and encrypted viruses and stuff. So.
I'm sorry, I just decided to, you know, come in and make an entrance like a big asshole because, you know, I've been off all night. So I got leeway to do that.
Hold on to the pen.
So how'd the con go for everybody? I don't know about you folks. I had a great time.
Yeah.
Gonna come back next year, guys?
Yeah.
Alright.
Next year'll be 10 years for me, but
hey, they've got these eternal memberships. They're only like $250, I think. And it doesn't take too many yearly memberships, like $60 or $70, to make that up.
Yeah. Well, I thought of buying one. They were actually $500, but I don't. I believe they're not available anymore.
Yeah.
Last year they said they had a few left that they could give out, but you know, you start giving out too many, and there goes the profit margin for people like me. You know, next year'll be 10 years, and even $50 pop, I would have paid for it. And you know, Con's probably going to be around here for much longer.
I hope so. I really do.
Oh, then you have like my sister and brother-in-law who just show up and walk around and nobody bothers them. But then again, my brother-in-law has been a director of computer gaming, of IT, and knows all the main people. They all hung out many years ago, and he's been going for like 20 years. So.
The only people who even looked at my past were the people in the con suite. That wasn't real food.
Okay, you know what we should do? We should start calling all the panelists from 201 who aren't here. And like when they pick up the phone, we should all just like really loud or something like that.
Tell them to tell him it's the FBI and he's coming to start the phone.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea.
PCs and laptops flying out.
A number of people would buy that too, actually.
So is anybody else?
All of them are responding to an incident and we need the root password to their boxes.
Oh yeah. They'll be like, where's the subpoena?
I don't think that would work, actually. Especially because they'd be, that's bullshit. You know you're in sudo or something like that would be like the response.
Or you're in a CH
which
root. Or
password?
Yeah, that is.
Password.
Yeah.
Instead of stormtroopers, we need like RIAA SWAT troopers.
No, I like the stormtroopers. I'd be scared shitless of those.
We
The stormtroopers are kind of neat, actually.
Like 5 or 6 people would dress up like RIA troopers. Tackle people with MP3 players.
Actually, we had a joke a while back. We were going to form the IETF enforcement squad. We were just going to get, like, you know, black t-shirts that said IETF. And we were going to run into ISPs and various IT departments and then just basically confiscate any equipment that was using protocols that were not RFC compliant.
Have you seen the IETF tickets for bad network use?
No, I haven't.
Oh, they're uber cute gags.
That's cool, though. I approve of that. Because the IETF enforcement squad jokes were made for a while, particularly against ISPs. Any ISPs doing anything that implemented protocols that were not RFC compliant, we would just go in and take their equipment. That was the thing. You know, what would happen if you rolled up to like an ISP office, you know, wearing like IETF shirts and like, we are the IETF. We are here to confiscate this equipment. It is not, you know, using the proper protocols.
Routers
you can keep their stuff.
Actually, that's are you a network engineer?
I'm a couple things.
Okay, this is one thing that we talked about briefly earlier in terms of building HA setups with routers, core routers, standard like backbone network
HSR,
style stuff.
HSR pretend VP.
Yeah. Well, the thing that we're talking about is that it's very hard if you want to make a setup like that that's not a complete monoculture. Like, if you want to have a Cisco router and a Juniper router.
No, because HSRP is completely proprietary. Have you looked at CARP?
No, I haven't. I haven't done any router configs in a HA setup in a few years, actually.
If you get a couple of OpenBSD boxes to start balancing the load, and you get really good, first-rate NICs, basically you're down to the Intel adapters.
Mm-hmm.
You have 80 trunking available on the card. You also have CARP, which is the open source RFC specified redundancy protocol.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a flying layer 2-3 bridge. It can inspect packets. You make layer 3 decisions, and it doesn't have to have an IP address. It is an amazing flying firewall and router. It's invisible to network attack. It doesn't have an IP address. It's only vulnerable to attack from the local map of LAN.
Interesting.
It's a twisted link of layer 2 and 3.
Interesting. I'm not familiar with the CARP stuff at all. I'm gonna have to read up on that.
It's PF and CARP made it together. It's a really impressive network stack.
Like how many megabit what stuff supports it right now, and like how many megabit can you fly over it before what routers? You're talking about just anything with an Intel card and something that
it's
can...
It's going to have to be like dual operons or something. They're talking about getting...
Dual operons for routing?
Well, it's not going to be for routing because it operates on layer 2, so it's going to be mostly a switch. It's what you can put at your border to start your HA process. You're going to need some kind of mesh inside your... some kind of core mesh, but beyond that...
So it basically relies on software to do all the work, otherwise like you wouldn't need that much process power for routing.
It would have to be a pretty big machine if you wanted to do it on the ISP scale.
Mm. What is the complexity at this point? We were talking about this earlier, but and it was one of the things I didn't really have a good answer for. The complexity, if you wanted to like have a your standard core router setup, HA, you're doing, let's just say, OSPF and BGP.
Okay.
You got like 2 core routers, 2 access routers, and like you want to have your pairs be like Juniper Cisco, like on the configuration end. What is the complexity of that?
The complexity is that the standards were late 70s standards.
So you can't do it at all?
Not to my knowledge.
So you're either Cisco or Juniper or something else?
Juniper does so many hardware optimizations to iOS, by the time it's Junos, it's irrecognizable.
Well, Junos is based off BSD. It's a whole different beast.
Junos gets it's like the MLS MPLS directly from iOS.
It does?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that. So this is why I'm a systems guy and not a router guy. That's good to know, though, because that was one of the things we were talking about earlier, is that, like, if you really wanted to create a robust HA setup, you wouldn't use the same vendor across both routers, because if somebody comes out with an exploit for Cisco and it takes out Cisco, well, at least your fallback is, you know, not going to be vulnerable to the same thing, and vice versa. And one of the arguments I was making is that we probably needed a language for configuring the basic network. You know, your
NPF, Ananog is pushing CARP NPF. IETF loves these guys.
Okay, so basically every bird of a feather group at Nanog is saying, get away from HPRF.
CARP is a system of synchronizing the state tables in a packet filter. That's the mathematical complexity about the HA. Not any HA rig is keeping the two in sync. So you can transfer the link. You can move the MAC address. And still continue passing traffic without losing the state of open sessions. That's the point of having a stateful inspection.
Yeah. If you're dropping sessions, you're not really bouncing or keeping.
It's a failover, not a high availability.
Well, failover would pass sessions.
Well, yeah.
Speaking of that, did the session sharing between IP tables in moving slightly out of that space, the session tracking between IP tables, can you pass that between machines now?
IP tables is mostly obsolete.
I either have been awake for way too long,
Linux IP stack needs to be deleted.
Hasn't it already been twice?
Yeah, that's why it's so great now. Those guys have nothing like source control.
Did you sleep?
Yeah.
Youth is a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Hell yeah.
How long have you been awake so far?
So what have you been hacksering on, my friend?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Hey, you know what? Thinking of hacksering, on Friday evening, wearing the Hacker Inside shirt, somebody came up to me like, "Hey, cool, Hacksor." It's like, "Hey, cool, your Hacksor stuff's like." Yeah, great. Okay, you have no idea what you're talking about.
We saw that burn. We laughed. We're glad you're doing it. Still scares us.
Should I put this down?
We were talking about HSRP and CARP.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know much about CARP. Cool.
Isn't it a type of fish?
Yeah, I like rainbow.
That's CARP.
What's your favorite way to cook it?
There's a great Dr. Seuss illustration for the T-shirt, for the BSD T-shirt for that year. There's a Dr. Seuss illustration. There's a CARP curry package.
Just open it really fast.
Well, I've been too removed from the network administration end of things for like a few years now, and like this discussion is just making it very clear to me. I need to be sitting on top of a large network again, or near. On top of might not be a good thing at this point in time. Near.
What's your favorite toolkit when you go out for consults or sites or whatever? What do you take?
When I go out for what?
When you go out for consults or whatever the hell you do.
My favorite toolkit for going out and doing consults. I don't really do the penetration testing thing, if that's what you're asking. I've never done the I've done the penetration testing thing, and I hate it. I hate doing penetration testing. I like to sit down with people and their network diagrams, and usually most of the hacks that I've, or most of the threats to networks that I've seen and been concerned with, I've usually been looking at them from the perspective of user issues and administration issues, and that A lot of times it's procedures for managing and administrating the network that causes most of the problems. A lot of times to like up the actual reliability of the network, sometimes the magic wand you need to wave is something simple like, wait a minute, you're not backing up your switch configs? A lot of times when I've done consults, most of the stuff that's been done that's been important has been like, you're not dotting I's and crossing T's here. You're not backing up the configuration for your switches. How long do you think it's going to take you to reconfigure all these VLANs? Most of the consults I've done have been pointing out things like that. Hey, look at all this unencrypted traffic you're sending over the internet here. That kind of stuff. Like, hey, maybe you need to segment out your network a bit. Maybe you need to put that stuff over on a DMZ. Maybe that database needs to have a direct connection to the firewall so that stuff like that. Segmenting out networks particularly. And that most people have this view of a firewall is that it has one side and the other side. All right? No. Firewalls can have a lot of interfaces. Firewall policies can be pretty damn complex. When you're talking about ISPs, you're routing a lot of traffic over your routers. Sure, great. Network group should know what the hell they're doing. Security group should be making sure that like your routers aren't directly accessible and things like you're backing up the configs, right? You're keeping that stuff in your configs in CVS, right? So we can see how you fuck up over time. And other things like, hey, wait a minute, the NOC is just on a big open network there. Maybe we should have a firewall so that, you know, the people doing workstations are in one segment and the stuff that's doing monitoring is on another segment and the stuff that's handling all your email and stuff like that is on another segment. There's no toolkits involved with that. There's brains involved with that. And there's just simple logic involved with that. And most of the time when I've done consults and network design, it's been a whiteboard and a marker. That's a really arrogant answer, but that's kind of the truth.
So are you taking the toolkits with you, Fuller?
Occasionally. What I've used and started using is bootable CDs of Auditor and so one of the Gen 2 distributions is STD, is the security something desktop, I think. They're not updated often, but they give you just about anything you want to do cracking, sniffing, looking at trying to do man-in-the-middle attacks, stuff like that to see your data, launch attacks against systems.
So is this like a bootable CD?
Yeah. If you go, there's a, if you Google it for bootable ISO Linux CD, Yeah, NOPix, that's what I'm thinking, not Gen 2. NOPix. NOPix STD is the one I was thinking of.
But this Gen 2 bootstraps?
I don't remember. I've never played with it that deep. But Auditor and NOPix STD are both ones that have just about everything in there, including
Metasploit's useful.
Yeah, Metasploit 1.4 and a lot of the new exploits that are coming out on Security Focus on BugTrack. Actually, people are re-engineering the exploits and putting Metasploit framework for it. So you have Metasploit, and you already have a remote shell exploit that you just say, hey, I want to hit this machine.
All you need is your vector, and all the other hard work is done for you.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, that was one of the things that they really wanted to do with that project is penetration testing is a real pain in the ass. There's a lot of times when you're like, you know, I know this can be done here. You know, here's the vector, and then it's just a hell of a lot of work to make it happen. And using.
Hackers should actually know machine code? Oh, that would be terrible.
No. It's okay. When you actually can put your finger on a problem and go, here's the problem, and somebody says, I want you to demonstrate the problem. I haven't been doing this for like 2 or 3 years. I've been working on other things. I've been mapping social networks and stuff like that and writing graphing code and log analysis stuff. Frankly, I'm a little bit removed from that particular, from the actual active security space, I'll admit it. I haven't been building ISPs now since 2001. That was the last time I built an ISP.
Well, the other problem with toolkits is ease of use. You have a cross of data security for somebody like me who does not go out and do, you know, finding the new exploits, but I know how they work, why they work, and can use them in targeted applications. The problem is something like Metasploit Framework I've not yet really played with because it's all command line, and, you know, if I'm there at a, you know, I want to have something I can plug in. Sorry, I kind of grew up in Windows a little bit, but I do 9/10 of my work every day in a Linux shell prompt, so. But, you know, if I can at least have a menu option that says, you know, press, you know, here's the list of attacks you have. Which one do you want? Put in a number, and here, give me the what IP address you want to attack. Here's the number now. You know, here's the other options for this particular exploit. In Metasploit, you still have to know, you have to go through the, you know, here's the module you want to run, and you have to read the module to figure out what the options are. And that's one of their downfalls at the moment, I believe.
By the way, you want to know something that kicks ass? I have noticed something that's been occurring over the years. The older we get a hell of a lot more burnt out, right? We're all moving to law. I think that's the direction. It seems like a lot of hackers I know have been moving over time. There's a certain point where we seem to lose a lot of interest in hacking code and hacking networks and hacking routers and hacking all this shit, and we start to get really interested in things like hacking law. And I don't mean hacking law in terms of like finding exploits for law, but figuring out the type of things that we need to be concerned with and the type of things that we need to build. No, that's actual sleep. That's, and I think that's something that's interesting about this community and this culture, and I don't know exactly what to put my finger on yet, as far as like the trends that we're seeing, but there's definitely a progression that occurs. Yeah. We're gonna just start calling people randomly. I'm so damn tired this morning. I hope I don't seem like a horrible asshole, but I have just been up this entire night, and you're gonna watch me just go anytime now.
Seeing that down there now,
I have a legitimate excuse. I forgot to set my alarm clock.
There's a number of people that I know in the scene, and they've been progressing to things like law and out of code. And I think that's interesting.
Remember the scotch that you forgot and left here last year? Yeah. And we took it and we very carefully protected it, and we're going to give it back to you this year during Hacking 201, but you left, so we drank it. Okay. I just want to let you know.
Randall's a good example. Teaching. That's something else a lot of people.
We'll get you more drink. Yeah, we can buy you more stuff. No problem. Okay.
So for ease of use, you like the Nopic CD? STD?
Yeah. Distributions based on that you can.
FreeBSD, FreeBSD is hands down better.
What is
FreeBSD? It's a bootable multi-use CD. It's a BSD based rather than Icky Linux.
Are we actually doing technical discussions?
Check.
Yeah, we've had discussions on high availability and cryptographic.
We've never done that during Hacking 301 before.
We've usually
slacked off. If we even bothered to show up.
You actually slept, didn't you?
Oh yeah,
you
I got about 6 hours of sleep in.
I had about 4 because I didn't get home until about 3:30.
Oh. Is there any chance maybe we could, you know, kind of close the other door there? I'm sort of hiding.
From who?
People I pissed off.
Which people?
On the angry. Well, they're angry now. The church people who are here.
What did you do? Come on, it's got to be amusing.
It is kind of amusing. I was trotting along trying to get here. They've got one of those booths up there. They're selling tickets to something with a big cross on it. And someone asked me if I would like a ticket. And I just kind of stopped and looked at the sign for a second and said, no, I'm an atheist. And I heard something about witnessing. And yeah, I was like, I don't want to get witnessed to. The question, can we witness? Can we say something? Before the nice woman and her two friends sitting next to her, before whichever one of them it was got the words out of her mouth, I said, only if you will join me and 20 of my closest pals in a pagan sex orgy. And then was like, I shouldn't have said that. It's too early in the morning, but it slipped out, and they got pissed, and one of them went to get somebody, and I ran because I'm a coward.
Is this real or imagined?
Yeah, I think it's pretty real because it was just a few minutes ago. Yeah, right upstairs, if you go back out between the main part of the hotel and, like, the tower section, there's the little booth there, and there's three women there, and there's sign the cross or something, so we have to go out a different way. It's too obvious. Look, I've been waiting to use that line for a while, because that's kind of like the, you know, mind if I smoke, mind if I fart, which I think is a very brilliant reply, because I don't like people smoking around me. And I wish this guy would give it up before his lungs fall out.
You know, I'll give it up again. I quit smoking for a year and a half last time. Before that, I quit smoking for 6 months. Next time, I'll quit smoking for 3 years, ideally.
Yeah. Quick question. Have you given up the other thing that you did that we had to babysit you for?
What? Oh. Hey, I've gotten better in my older age, or at least more extravagant.
You don't do that every weekend. That's just for fun every now and then. And Dragon Con's allowed. But anyway, you know, I figure if anyone's going to try to, can I witness to you? That just seems like really incredibly invasively personal. It's like going up to someone and saying, hey, hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you. What's your sexual orientation and favorite position? That's something deeply personal. And if someone's going to presume like that, then... I offered. That's why I said, would you like to join me and 20 of my closest friends in a pagan sex orgy?
Well, we had them last year, didn't we? And then, like, the year before, we had the Salvation Army.
I think the Salvation Army was cooler because they had those uniforms, and those were pretty nifty.
And then the year before that, we had all the people convention.
A couple of the Salvation Army people to hang out in one of the wasn't 201, it was one of the drinking panels. We had them to hang out in one of the panels and drink with us, which I thought was a major coup.
I have a question for you. Where do we start coming up with some type of language to standardize network configuration across different devices so we can start eliminating monocultures in people's networks? That's an engineering security problem that I'm actually interested in.
Have you heard of NetGraph?
I've heard of it, but I'm not going to be able
to turn on large portions of my brain right now.
NetGraph is a system for organizing network interfaces into nodes and attaching logical structures, procedures and logical structures to an area in a way that creates a network inside the machine.
That sounds like what we need.
If you cattle prod somebody and they don't want you to, that's assault.
I don't beat me, anyone. Stay the cattle prod, please, Master. It can be encapsulated as XML and then exported externally to another box that might be not using the same names of interfaces, but you can start tagging them logically and semantically instead of FXP0 or...
So basically, you can build a network model in that particular format and then say, output me a config for a Cisco router, output me a config for a Juniper router, output me a config for, like, a Linux box.
Right now, what it is a framework for things like PCAP.
You have to be subtle about these things.
PCAP under BSD is just a NetGraph node. Right now, it's in code because it can't produce any written documentation other than its own little XML grubs. It can be fed into another system that runs NetGraph.
Where are the commercial NMS systems in that space in terms of managing your network devices
irrelevant.
Out of a central?
They're entirely irrelevant.
That's a cool problem to tackle then. Because I think that's key.
People are doing that with...
You're talking too much. Have people in the audience asked questions?
He did.
No, I mean, he's talking too much. But that's okay.
I haven't talked yet.
Yeah.
Actually, he asked the question to him.
No, they're supposed to ask us.
I'm fucking with the paradigm.
Oh, all right. I can see that.
He's hacking the hacking session.
Are there any other questions? We can, like, crosstalk across each other because there's not that much time left. And I'll be willing to stick around a little bit later just because I was a slacker and got here late.
Just shout out your question.
Yeah, if you got a question.
A real basic question. What kind of a scanning tool do you think, an automated scanning tool, is that a good tool to use, like ISS?
Nessus is great. That's what ISS is basing their stuff off.
There's there's some really good documentary, or really good books that Syngras puts out on this stuff for Nessus. Snort, their 2.1 book, is still pretty much considered the Bible if the documentation that comes with it doesn't quite do it for it. But it is well written. It's a very well written book. I haven't seen the latest one for, was it Osiris and Solane? And they've got another one that's the Pentester's open source toolkit that's coming out shortly that I'm very interested in seeing. And I've been extremely impressed with these books. Although, yeah, I'm kind of a beginner at that type of stuff, the protocol analysis and stuff like that. But the people who are experts like these books too. So if they're giving them good reviews and saying, yeah, perfect book for a beginner, great next book to read, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, sounds good to me. And I've learned
tools.
I've learned from these books.
It seems like it's a great place to start.
Or
I've always had good experience with it myself. It is definitely a tool I've used many, many times. And particularly the feedback that I hear about Nessus from people that I associate with and work with, it's always good. I have heard very little bad feedback about Nessus. So great place to start if you got money. To actually start throwing at the problem, then you got money to throw more research at the problem. I rarely had money to throw at those problems, so I used to say start with MMAP and a clue, but Nessus is a great place to pick
if,
up.
Also, tip if you're working on your Cisco, what's the security certification, CSSP, I think.
MMAP and a clue requires a lot of work. Sorry.
You can do a Google for Frank and IDS, and instead of paying outrageous sums of money, either trying to buy one of their IDS boxes or get lab time on one, you can build one basically out of a throwaway Pentium 2 and a little bit of creative warezing on the peer-to-peer networks.
Snort is a good thing to play with in terms of I think. And this is something that many people may disagree with me on, but usually when it comes to IDS, I don't take IDS too seriously, because every time I've personally tried to do something with IDS, it's just created a lot of work and very little real results. So like, IDS feels more like something you play with than something you actually depend on. That's something that I'm sure many people could walk up here and really disagree with me on. But
I'll agree with you a bit too, simply because I've only played with Snort. I haven't actually used it in a production environment. It is a useful tool to play with. I know some places will pay good money if you know it, so it doesn't hurt to play with it in your own home lab. As the famous consultant mantra goes, if you can't be part of the solution, at least you can prolong the problem, and therefore learn the tools take money from people willing to pay you.
When you're doing IDS, a lot of times, if you're looking to use IDS on the outside of your network, like the internet hostile side, you're just going to deal with so much shit, and it's not going to be useful. If you're dealing with IDS on the internal hostile side, like that network where all your employees are, which should kind of be treated as hostile, actually, and it should be separate from the network where, like, all your servers live, that's a great place to put IDS, because you know what those people are going to be using.
All right,
anything outside of what they should be using, that's the stuff you want to see flowing through your console.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit on
IDS,
that.
Well, it depends on the situation, right? If you're running, like, you know, a small office, you got a half a dozen people there, or two dozen people there, and you got a nice little family office environment.
We got it.
You don't need to watch everybody like Big Brother.
Yeah,
if you're
we got
running
it.
Some big financial institution, you do. You
we got it.
And that's where we are.
Yeah, you need to treat your internal
we understand.
Network as hostile. Can you shut up?
Can you?
You need to treat, no, because a lot of people don't get this. I see people here do, but it might as well be.
Put that over there.
Your internal network needs to be treated as hostile, and that's the place you probably want to put IDS, and that's the place you understand what traffic is occurring.
If you really want to get into protocol analysis hardcore, put your IDS on the outside and see what people are hammering you with. Even if it's your own little home network, cable, DSL, whatever.
With your copious free time.
Well, why not? I mean, if you're doing this for a living, it's assumed that you enjoy fucking around with it. Enjoy messing around with it on your off time. So set it up at home and play with it. If you're the type of person who says, "Ooh, honeypots, this is a neat idea. I want to play with it. I want to set one up," then you're probably gonna set up. You know, you'll want to play with Snort. You'll want to see the traffic coming in from the outside, and it's really interesting to take this stuff apart and see what people are trying to do.
All good points. I guess you can read my comments.
It's a wonderful
like the
learning,
guy
who's
too. Been up all night.
So, Fuller, you had a comment?
Well, originally it was for toolkits that we use in stuff like that for Nessus Nmap stuff. We are actually developing, we've actually kind of taken over an open source project that was a web interface to Nessus and Nmap and displays it all nice reporting things. Since the developers haven't done anything now in over 7 months and, you know,
what's
several.
The project?
The original project is inprotect.com, and we've taken it. I've actually done more work than almost any other developer on the entire, you know, their entire user base has done. A couple other people have done some minor formatting changes. I've changed the back end, made tons of.
You're still calling it inprotect?
No. Well, we've kind of rebranded it with our own title, but we've left all the statements to say it's inprotect in like the header.
Okay, what I'm asking is, if we want to see what you've done, what the hell is the name of the project?
Oh, InScan.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of
this. Have you heard about it?
Hmm?
Or the original title is InProtect. InScan is what we've rebranded on our own website.
Oh. Something across Nanog.
What's the website?
Phylink.com.
What is it?
Phylink.com. We actually provide managed security services to...
N-S-C-A-N, no hyphen, right? N-S-C-A-N, InScan, no hyphen?
Right, yeah. Yeah. What was it? Oh, yeah, but my current development plan for it is incorporating about a dozen other open source security tools for cross-correlation for doing SQL injection, doing, you know, brute forcing passwords and stuff like that built into the what Nessus, Nmap, and the other tools find.
Do you bring us breakfast?
And that's my current development plan. I have my check sheet right now is about 150 items, and I'm up to about number 60, I think, on it so far. And we're on a third release of it. But we actually provide it as a managed service if you want to buy it, and you know, it's actually relatively cheap, stuff like that. It's all nice little web interface, and we're also the other half of the problem we have with it is we're doing cross correlation between IP over. A dozen IPSs in our various clients that have them, and then the correlation between that, the InScan results, and other information we know about their network to do. One of the main problems I was talking, I think, with Ghost is the other guy that was here last night, or Tom.
Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
Yeah.
That most tools around do not have good reporting. Reporting for most security systems sucks. And that's why we're developing a full dashboard online interface to do all this nice, pretty correlation stuff between different systems, different scans, and, you know, all the different latest vulnerabilities that are out there and what's actually applicable to their network and, you know, just little things like that.
And you're open sourcing this, right?
The InScan is an open source product. The dashboard is going to be, we're looking at several different technologies still to see it, one of which I'd like to plug is called Laszlo. Yeah, we're actually playing with that as the development base right at the moment. And we actually have talked with the people who, you know, the Laszlo guys, and they're really interested in us doing this because they've had lots of, yay, we're on Slashdot. Yay, we have this, you know, little, you know, web, you know, this mom and pop store that's built it, and then. Yay, data security, you know, providers trying to use this, and now they're kind of interested.
You know, that's actually a good thing to add to your question for scanners. Getting that as a managed service is not a bad idea. There have been a few a few companies, most of which I think have been bought or rotated that I've dealt with, that have had managed scanning services, and they've done a damn good job, some of them. In that maintaining a scanner is a lot of work. In that you do have to be up to date all the time. So like when you're doing a scan, it's pretty much like you need to be up to date the second you're doing a scan, or you might be missing something and you don't know. You need to keep track of it. A company where that's their core business is a good option. And it should be, you know, at least evaluated.
Cool.
Put a hole in the ceiling or anything.
It's got little holes in it already.
MC.
Hey.
There you go.
No, the other one.
I'm gonna play with this.
I have a thing that, you know, that it can actually shoot out those things. You can get kicked out of con for having it be a live projectile weapon.
That's neat. It's got the little laser.
Yeah, be careful with that because, you know, if you dot a cop with that, you can get shot.
Yeah. At least it's not.
Not to mention that it did just launch something, sort of, didn't it? Mm-hmm. It just launched a little bit.
Yeah, aren't you glad I wasn't pointing it at you?
Yeah,
at the time.
Let me put it this way. You can get kicked out of con right now for that.
That's an air pellet gun, dude. Put it down.
You can get kicked out of con for a lot of
things. Not towards me. Yes, the way we were behaving last night, don't do that in polite society at all. Ever.
His mom was sitting right there and told her everything that happened. She was like,
no. I was wondering about that. It's a good thing that the parents are so horrified at the mere thought that they just outright reject it.
I don't know. Then you have my parents that just show up, you know, like last night. And
guy with the cattle prod. Then I had my first Guinness and I saw tits twice. So you are going to be able to social engineer her into letting you come to Freaknik, right?
Huh?
Yeah, you should
parse that statement and then nod and say yes.
You wanted the thing in Nashville?
Yeah.
They have plans.
You're going to try.
Yes.
All right.
He's going to end up down like,
if you
not
show
downtown,
up there,
but wherever it is
now.
You
get social engineering points, and we'll talk to Dolomite about that.
Sounds like there's still one in
We haven't had to worry about trying to do the badge escalation game in years because we're either invited here or we work here, so it's we haven't practiced those skills in a while.
Yeah,
I just keep
true.
Showing up, but that's just me.
we did good a few years.
You tell the story better than I do, so you go with that. Yeah, although I will mention that I have had it confirmed that we've forced guest registration slash services. To
up their
what
you
to
know.
Change their way of doing things 3 years in a row.
Yeah,
we're partially responsible for the hideously long lines here at Dragon Con.
Well, it was quick when I went through.
I guess I was thinking Saturday morning they had
the line, but all the lines look damn quick.
I don't know. Thursday evening when I got here, I was number three in line. I just I was there like 2 or 3 minutes.
So I had to go over to. There was a glitch getting one of my speakers in and a comp badge for his wife, and I had to run over to the Hilton, and they had a line, I guess, for on-site registration or people checking in that snaked all the way around and back out onto the street. So glad I don't have to deal with that stuff. Huh? So, you're going to...
It basically came down to when starting off, there was always some problem with our badges when we were supposed to have badges waiting for us, always. So, like, we would have to start social engineering to get something that was, like, legitimately due to us. So if you're going to have to start social engineering to get something that's legitimately due to you, you're going to go for the extra limit. And, you know, all these different tags.
Too much is always better than not enough. Yeah. So, why not see how far you can take it?
We're like, well, we want program participant, and then come back and something, and my thing fell off.
No,
I needed to whatever, and then get a guest one, and then come back.
That pissed me off, because we got the program participant badges, and he comes back and, I got a guest. I can go to the green room and drink, and you can't. I'm like, how'd you do that? Well, I lost my room. I went back and blah, 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 blah. Fucker. So we went over and we social engineered and it's like, haha, I got a guest ribbon too. That wasn't so difficult.
Didn't you actually up winning eventually?
No,
you got a guest of honor. I don't.
No, no, no. Me. We didn't get the guest of honor. You got the VIP bat or okay. VIP ribbon next. Am I remembering that correctly? Because
right.
you got
think,
another
I think that's
one.
That's right. Yeah. Program participant, guest, and VIP.
And I was going to go get a VIP bat. Okay. You showed up
Sounds
with the
right.
VIP ribbon and. Damn, I have to do it again. And you were going to beat us to the punch and come back with whatever the next one higher up was at the time. No one knew what it was. And he got caught at that point. They were like, no, wait a minute, who are you? You're not on this list here. And at that point, they started checking the IDs and the master list, and we couldn't go any higher. So I was stuck at guest level, and he had the VIP ribbon.
That was fun. That was definitely fun.
I tried for a senior director's ribbon one year, and they're like, no, we're on to you guys. Go away. That was about the third year we did that.
Yeah, we've chilled out. I think we've actually chilled out. What happened?
It's time to train the next generation of young social engineering terrorists. Okay, so one of the plans that we had that we never actually got around to, you know over it. You know,
sticking me in the barrel?
No. This is from previous years. You and your pals have got to work on this because we figured out most of the details. We wanted to hang a banner from the Hyatt, like in the middle of the open area there. And what we figured we needed to do was start out kind of like the way the Romans build bridges. You have a very thin cable thread, and what we were going to do is go up to about the 12th or 13th floor, have someone stand on one side behind the elevator thing, and you know where that big long cable comes down that holds the metal sculpture? It looks kind of like a metal spider web.
Yeah. I remember
walk
actually
behind,
sitting out there
you have one person
out
standing
yeah,
on
did.
One side of the open
the
area.
Needed to be and how
Listen, this is important. All right, so you're up on the 12th floor, and you've got like the elevator's up front, then you've got the metal cable here, and this is the back part of the building. You have one guy stand on one side, so he's a little bit behind that metal cable that just runs down from top to bottom. And he's holding on to one end of a thread. The other guy walks around behind it, gets on the opposite side, so you've got this thread reaching across behind that metal, metal cable that's holding the spider web up. When you've got that initial thread there, you can tie off one end to a stronger cable and pull it across. So now you've got a wire essentially going from one side to the other. Our plan was to basically roll a banner out on a couple of a little wheeled contraption that one of our engineering buddies had designed at Georgia Tech. It would hit the cable and a little locking ring would engage. And then when we pull the cable that it rolled out on out, that would trip a little switch that would drop the rolled up banner. So in store, the end result is you've got this large banner hanging from this cable in the middle of the Hyatt that's 12 stories up and no way to reach it. How the hell are they going to take it down in any time soon?
Do you have all the components to do this?
No, we've came up with the design.
We've got the designs, but we never
it.
Implemented it. So we'll
do
we'll,
this next year.
No, we're not, because now we're old, boring, responsible farts, but we will pass our legacy on to you, and you are free to do or not do with it as you will.
Yes, you need
to understand
that's
that
why I don't do much.
Until you turn 18, you've got some wiggle room, because if you fuck up, but it's not too severely, you can usually get it taken off your record or have it sealed when you turn 18.
Cool.
Or at least nobody expects the young kids to be that. Do not point anything that looks
yeah,
like
really,
a gun.
Yeah, really. Just one word of warning. If you pop any of us with that, we will hit you in the face, yeah. And it will hurt.
Or use this.
But actually, part of
the
thing
getting
is,
in the face is
that
is a more
if somebody
serious
pulled
threat.
Off a minor yeah. engineering feat, they're not going to expect the 16 and 17-year-old kids running away giggling to be the ones to do it.
One very important thing when you do this type of stuff, you've got to have spotters and recon people.
Oh, yeah.
And you need if you're not into shortwave radio and scanning, you need to be, because the security here in the hotel communicates with a little two-way walkie-talkie type things. They transmit unencrypted, so That means you can listen in to their conversations if you find the frequencies, which means if you're listening to security when you pull this off, you'll know when they're coming and where they're coming from, which means you can get away. We used this to great effect at SummerCon 95 when we basically destroyed an entire hotel because they were assholes.
I wish I was there that year. But that year broke the rule, or the one of the great rules.
They
I was
started
about to
it.
Say something is if you don't damage or destroy anything, you're not really doing.
Okay,
anything
just
like
to
that.
You know,
there's a big difference between a prank and serious damage.
Anyone who's listening to this now, yeah, let me relay this very briefly. There's a reason for this. What we were saying about the sign, that's a prank. That doesn't hurt anyone. The thing is even designed to be lightweight, so if it doesn't work and it falls, one, it's going to land on the spider. Two, it's light enough because we're not talking about a heavy cloth banner. We're talking something very light that was silk screened in advance. And the runner with the latch is a plastic device. So absolute worst case, it bounces off the spider web and you've got a plastic device weighing maybe 3 pounds tops that's got about 10 feet to go after it hits the spider web to the floor.
Okay, con's gone wrong. I think you should tell the SummerCon.
I'm getting
story,
to that.
And then I think we should tell the SummerCon, what year, 99, the CNN.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's a prank. SummerCon 95, shut up, was a HackerCon here in Atlanta in one of the overflow hotels. I don't even remember which one it was, not too far from here. Little seven-story affair open in the middle with a swimming pool on the lobby level. And it started out fine. You know, the traditional hacker thing, yeah, pranks are cool. Have fun messing with people in an amusing manner, but don't make it vicious. Don't break anything. Do no harm. Otherwise, it's not a prank. Well, the people at the hotel, when we checked in, yeah, they seemed to know what was coming. They'd been briefed. You know, you're going to have a bunch of creative, smart people running around with a lot of excess energy. But, everyone's here to have a good time. And the traditional hacker ethic is have fun, but don't hurt or break anything. Well, the weekend staff must not have been briefed on this because they were not only major assholes, but they did not one, but two hideously, hideously unforgivable things. Incident number one, young kid had passed out in the phone closet because he was...
No, he had passed out and been put in the phone closet.
Oh, okay. I thought, all right, the way I heard it, he had been playing in the phone closet, playing with the circuits there while he was drunk, and he just passed out in the phone closet. End result, he was found in the phone closet by hotel security, underage guy. Rather than turning him over to whoever was responsible for him and making sure that no damage was done in the closet, which is obvious if wiring's ripped out and stuff, then oops, okay, yeah, damage was done. That's obviously a more serious offense. The guy hadn't done anything. But instead of turning him over to his guardians and letting him sleep him off, they dragged this kid down the hallway and then down some stairs. And he wound up having to go to the hospital with a mild concussion. While this happened, there was a large crowd of people going, you know, what the fuck are you doing? You're hurting him. Stop, 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 stop. Got it on videotape, too. Incident number one. Incident number two is a young woman who was at the convention had her purse stolen. And while she was talking to the head of security in the little staff break room describing her purse and the contents and blah, 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 she realized the guy was fondling himself underneath the table and he exposed himself to her. And she freaked out and went running screaming from the room. And so she called the police and hotel security, someone had called the police and you had two different groups of police show up. And they're getting conflicting stories. Well, the hackers had their stuff. They had it, one of the incidents, on videotape, and the ambulance was there too. And what the EMTs said to the cops corroborated with what was shown on the videotape. And then the girl wanting to press charges for the head of the hotel security exposing himself to her pissed off the Atlanta Police Department to the extent that they said publicly in the street while you had group of angry hackers here, group of angry hotel people here, and the Atlanta cops in the middle say very loudly to the hotel staff, this is your problem. If we have to come back here again, we're probably going to arrest you first based on what we've seen so far. The cops left. At that point, we realized we've got free rein. And what made it interesting was this was a hotel using one of the little plastic cards with the holes punched in it to get into the hotel room. Someone had already figured out within 30 minutes what the master combination was and just started duplicating master cards for people. So the hotel was throwing people out left and right. They had master cards. They would just walk around the block, come in a different entrance, and pick a room. If someone was in the room, they were like, oh, sorry, didn't realize they must have screwed up and sent me to the wrong room. I'll go downstairs and check it. Didn't mean to bother you. And just, go down the hall until you find a room. And people weren't leaving. And in fact, I heard later on that they were giving some of these cards out to street people, which I thought was funny as hell. It gets better because, this was 95. They were still using some of the older, more primitive, non-trunked two-way radios and got the model number off their unit. Someone did a dial-up connection, looked them up, and said, these things only have two channels, and here's the frequencies they work on. Well, a bunch of people with ham and scanner gear there, we took over their two channels. One of the security channels turned into a pirate radio station. And the other one we took over and used to coordinate, saying, okay, security's coming up this elevator here, blah, 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 blah. And we started making up code words and stuff, and security couldn't figure out what we were talking about. And they couldn't talk to each other because, one, we were on their frequencies, and, two, we just started locking them out of their frequencies, and their radios didn't work, so they couldn't keep up with us because we had spotters everywhere, and we could see everything on the inside of the hotel.
What music was playing on the pirate radio?
I remember Ministry playing. I remember Maverick got hold of the transmitter at one point, and we had a lot of Metallica going for a while. There was some cut-up collage type stuff. I did a 91 Noise shout-out, and a friend of ours up in Nashville who goes by Maverick, who's very involved with Freetnik up here, he was, 16, 17 at the time? That was the year he earned the nickname Mr. Destructo. Whoa. I have never seen an entire hotel destroyed before. Some of the highlights were, the elevators stopped working. The elevators were not broken, physically destroyed, $1,000 worth of damage. The way these particular elevators worked were you had an infrared beam that bounced off a reflector and came back to a sensor on the other side. Beam is broken. There's an object in the way. The doors will not close. Beam returns. Everything is clear. Door will close. Elevator will go up and down. Someone took one of the screws. There were two screws holding the reflector here. Someone simply took one of the screws out and moved the reflector down and screwed it back in. So the two screws were still there, the reflector was still there, but the beam would hit and not bounce. So the elevators were locked on their floors. And the elevator technician who was working on this thing when we left couldn't figure out what the problem was because everything was there, the beam was going out, but it was not returning for some reason. He didn't realize, it's half an inch too low to bounce the beam back. So elevators not working, everyone had to haul their gear down the stairways, which was interesting because some people brought a lot of gear. There was network cables strung up all over the inside.
People bring lots of gear to HackerCons. They really do, and gear has only gotten lighter over the years.
Now, this was the scariest, most interesting part for me because when we were checking out / escaping on Sunday, we were gone at that point. When we saw what was going on, we had one of the master cards. The group I was with, we checked out. We didn't want to be around anymore because we knew that people who were still there and had credit cards and stuff on file were probably going to get gigged. Turned out that was something not worth worrying about because one of the hotel people Friday night had left a very large stack of credit card slips sitting on the counter while he was working. And someone even called in anonymously and said to the front desk, you really need to at least put those underneath the desk or out of sight. Leaving them there is a bad idea. And the hotel person was apparently rather rude to them about that and essentially told them to fuck off. So someone stole all the credit card slips a few minutes later, and no one ever got charged. So that was very interesting. But I had already checked out on Friday, but we had the master key, so we were back in, and I'd called and canceled my credit card even just to be sure there wouldn't be any problems. But moot point anyway, as I found out afterwards. when we were leaving slash making our escape Sunday morning, had to go down the stairs. Most of the lights were out in the stairwell, and there was a lot of water running down them. I remember that. And I remember at the time thinking, this is like a scene out of Aliens, because it's dark, there's flickering lights, there's water going, there's sirens going off randomly, and people are just freaked out and not really sure what's happening. And we get down to the lobby level, and I shit you not, there is an inch of water covering the entire lobby level floor and running out into the street. Most of the weekend staff had quit by then, so the regular weekday staff was there, and I feel really sorry for this guy to this day. The nice guy who was there when we checked in Friday afternoon, right before he went home, was back there Sunday with this look of absolute horror on his face, kind of like the shell-shocked, you know, the shell-shocked guy at the end of Apocalypse Now. I could just, you know, imagine him going, the horror, because the abrupt transition between when he left and when he came back in the state of his hotel. And he recognized me as we were leaving, and he just kind of said in this very sad, you know, kicked puppy voice, "What did you people do?" And I was like, "Wasn't me, man. Wasn't me. I feel for you. I really do. You were nice. I'm sorry, but I'm getting the hell out of here. I've already checked out. Bye. We're gone." Here. The chick I was going out with at the time even pulled out like $10 and I think tossed $10 on the counter as a tip as we were leaving. So yeah, that was SummerCon 95. Hackers, to, yeah, non-destructive unless you mess with us, then oh my God.
And that hotel did close then.
They closed. The entire staff was fired. The place was closed for several months and then it opened up under new management. So...
Oh, as another,
we broke the hotel, seriously.
As another tip for being kind of non-destructive and destructive, I remember at one of the two Freaknicks I went to that pranking and tying one person's door to another across the hallway and doing stupid shit like that is not a good thing. Yeah, the one that we roomed, yeah.
Yeah, whoever tried it didn't do a good job. They needed to learn knots better because I didn't have any problem opening my door. So,
That, and they kind of made complete asses themselves, and they kind of got kicked out, you know.
I'm just glad I didn't wake up under the 3 foot of popcorn as originally planned.
Well, one of the things that was funny, too, is SummerCon got a reputation after that. I wish I was there that year. That just would have been something.
That was my first ever HackerCon. Wow.
That had a reputation. And the 1 year that I was there, where it was in CNN Center, that was real over the top, but in a good example of a completely non-destructive way, because the people at CNN Center were damn cool, actually. That's a great place to throw a con. CNN Center, if you haven't been down, it's, you know,
we scared the shit
land.
Out of them to the point where they cut all the fiber optic links between the hotel and the rest of the CNN complex.
For one, all the people who did like computer security for CNN and Turner and all that stuff were at the con. And we wound up having a chance to talk to a bunch of those people. And apparently they were very clear that we got memos from several three-letter organizations about this con going down. We knew we were planning to attend, and they pretty much told some of the precautions. The hotel in CNN Center is the Omni, and it's kind of like one half of the building, and there's these two buildings, and they just kind of slapped a roof down over the top. CNN Center's kind of an interesting place.
Yeah, if you have a chance to check it out, Turner decided it was easier just to throw a huge dome over a couple of blocks of downtown Atlanta rather than try to do causeways and hamster trails. So you've got these structures and open-air restaurants that used to be outdoors, and now all this stuff is under a giant roof. And one interesting feature to note is the largest elevator shaft in the complex that's on the outside of the Omni. They needed a way to circulate a very large volume of air within that structure. And the solution they came up with is they have a vertically mounted turbojet engine that was taken off of, I don't know what model aircraft it is, but they can tell you at the Omni, and it's basically mounted on the side of the elevator shaft, and it its job is simply to circulate air within that volume of space. So yes, there is a turbojet mounted on the side of the elevator shaft, running pretty much 24 hours a day, and you can see the jet blast on the concrete on the top side where the exhaust is on the elevator shaft.
Well, they took an interesting tack to how they were going to handle this con that had a history of destroying hotels and CNN world headquarters. And it was simply isolation.
We have a history. We were very nice and polite at SummerCon 96. 96 liked us. They were scared of us, but they liked us.
Yeah, they actually gave a bunch of us, several of us, like really nice tours of CNN. They were watching us at any given point where we were anywhere. There were at least two eyeballs.
Were you in the Sunday morning? The early Sunday morning before we checked out in the bar drinking session? Were you there?
Possibly. Who else?
All right.
Was
well,
there?
finish up, and I'll tell that.
They definitely were doing their due diligence at that con. Everywhere we were in the hotel, the second you approached the edge of the Omni, you had at minimum two sets of eyeballs on you. Sometimes as many as four or six. Like you could stop walking around and go, "There's a guy over there following us. There's a guy over there following us," and we see somebody up there and somebody.
Plain
up there.
Clothes and they uniform.
Were, yeah, they were completely surveilling everybody the second they got outside the Omni. When you
they wanted you to
Omni,
know that they were watching
well
you too.
Contained. When they used to have the TalkBack Live area. And the Omni has network connections and all that stuff that go into like CNN's networks. The way they tackled that was very, very smart, actually. They sent somebody down with a pair of scissors and they cut the fiber that connected and the Ethernet cables that connected all that stuff to CNN's network. Their attitude is no mistakes can happen, no social engineering can happen, because the fiber splicer guy doesn't get back till Monday.
We have an air gap firewall, which is the most effective kind.
Yeah. And the way we know that is because the people who run security were hanging out at the con and telling us what was going on. They were giving us tours and stuff. They were being really, really cool. There was one hotel room that definitely got trashed over one party.
Oh shit, was that the one where Kluge and the gun and Maverick and all that happened?
Yeah, there's a legendary story there. One of the things about the hacking scene is people are very, very, very serious about their rights and liberties and are willing to go way over the line to display proudly their ability to use them and the knowledge of the law surrounding them.
Jägermeister and large caliber firearms do not mix.
There was one dude running around with a loaded SIG 40.
Kluge from what at the time was Loft and is now at Stake.
Yeah, was basically had a loaded SIG 40 on his side and a bottle of Jägermeister. And
that's a fucking big pistol too. I'd never seen one of those before, and that's scary.
Yeah, it wasn't a compact, but anyway. So yeah, and there was one room where one of the major parties was going on. That was a suite that somebody who's working at unnamed person, unnamed company, basically got an unnamed company's name just for the sake of having a suite to have a party. They had another place they were going to sleep that just had a suite for the party, and that definitely got trashed. Just basically, that was the worst that came of that. CNN took a policy of containment, and everything was basically taken care of.
Let me mention the Kluge thing, because this is one of the slickest thing I've ever seen.
I wish Tom was here.
Decius, who was on the panel last night, was basically in the bathroom of this party suite taking a dump. And Kluge thought it would be fun, you know, bottle of Jägermeister in one hand and his pistol in another, to let's kick in the door and scare the hell out of him with the gun. And we're like, and it's like, okay.
Saved the day.
Yeah, and we're like, okay, how do this is about to get very bad. What the hell do we do? Because he's drunk and he's got a loaded, very large caliber pistol. And Maverick, who was 18 at the time, was standing right behind him, and he reached over.
Wait. You need to tell. Our friend Tom was using the bathroom.
I just said he was taking a dump, and Kluge was getting ready to kick the door in. And
He did kick the door in.
Oh,
he kicked the door.
He was in this position with the gun getting ready to, you know, scare the hell out of the guy. And Maverick just reached up with one hand and flipped the whatever the release was on that pistol. I'm not familiar with that model.
And
the clip dropped, and he just went boom. Clip caught the other hand, handed it off.
It was like really
it was done. Faster than it took me to explain
it.
It was really slick. That was, I caught it. That was the slickest thing I have ever seen. And Maverick got major, major points from everyone
literally
that day. Because prior to that, he had simply been an annoying teenage thug slash vandal. And he saved the day at that point. And that was just, that was totally cool.
He did actually kick open the door. So from Tom's
perspective, that
had to be just terrifying.
Well, fortunately, Tom was sitting on the toilet taking a shit at the time. So if he did shit himself, it wasn't a problem. I mean, that's the best possible place you can be if that happens and you lose control of your bowels.
He was approaching from the right side, right? Mm-hmm. So he just basically took one hand and put it on the action and pulled it back so that the round in the chamber came into his hand, and with the other hand hit the cripply release.
I don't know the details, but I saw it, and all I saw was one hand bang, clip, drop, catch, and immediately passed off to someone else.
I saw that go down from an angle.
The funny thing was, whoever got the clip next thought, okay, this would probably be a good idea to to pull the bullets out of the clip and spread them around just in case. The rest of the con, Kluge was wandering around trying to get his
Who's
bullets back.
Going,
my wife counts my bullets before I leave, and if I can't account for them all, and they haven't been discharged, she gets pissed.
If I don't come home with all my bullets, my wife is going
to
divorce me.
I have to account for all of them.
that's probably the scariest single incident that has ever happened in the history of the entire hacking,
And that could have really gotten ugly. I mean, to the point, okay, major media, because think, in the CNN complex, think how they would have eaten that shit up. I mean, hackers, alcohol, guns, death, violence, mayhem, God only knows what else, blah, blah, blah.
On the good side, there were at least two people at all times watching that dude. Maverick reacted that fast because Maverick was paying attention.
Here's how paranoid they were at the CNN complex. Saturday night, Sunday morning, it turns in, Saturday night in the hotel lobby, the bar closes down, but we refuse to leave. We're just hanging out, and people start pulling out their own stuff. So there's about 30 people hanging out in the bar lobby entrance to the Omni Saturday night, and it goes on through Sunday morning. Of course, the crowd dwindles, some people pass out, and you get to that point like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning where there's just a few people left, and there was this older guy. It looked like your typical older Unix geek, balding, beard, had the pot belly, was wearing Birkenstocks, but we realized we didn't know who this guy was. And we'd all introduced ourselves at various points through the evening, and he was kind of quiet, and someone at one point just kind of turned and said, "Hey, who are you? You're joining the conversation. We're all friends here. Have a beer." And he said, "Oh, I'm head of CNN Network Security." I said, "Nah, bullshit." "Oh, really? I am." And he pulls out some ID and stuff and said, "Well, you guys seem pretty decent, so would you like to know the, thank you for the beer, would you like to know how paranoid and how scared you have made people here in the CNN complex?" It's like, "Yeah, why are they paranoid and scared?" And said, "Well, think about it. You've got a lot of high-powered execs for a large Fortune 100 company who are having a hacker convention at Ground Zero. And you may not have been aware of this." We'll be done in about 2-3 minutes. Is that okay? He said, "You may not have been aware of this, but the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA all have offices in this complex so they can monitor the news as it comes in globally and spin it if they need to. Right now, there are Secret Service guys." I think they're Secret Service guys. Now, and this is what he said. "There are Secret Service guys, at least I think they're Secret Service guys, in my network operations center and my data center. And they have machine guns, and they won't let me in. In fact, they won't let any CNN employees in either of those facilities until after this convention. That's how scared they are. Would you like to go on a little informal tour, and I'll show you where we set up some of our security measures. And so we're like, hell yeah. So he pulls out all his ID and badges, and we're wandering through the bowels of CNN, and he's going, okay, pinhole camera here, pinhole camera here, pinhole camera here, wave to infrared sensor here, motion sensor here, trackers here. And you know, every time we go around a corner, it's like another group of security people converge, and he just holds up his badge and goes,
really
no, they're with me. It's cool. And they're like, yeah, the people coming around the corner were like, both plain clothes and uniform, and usually had a hand at their side. And he just waves the badge and is like, no, it's cool. They're with me. It's like,
I will say, I think at that point, maybe I was, 21, 22, something like that, whatever. Real interesting experience at the time. And they did a bunch of, showed us a bunch of cool stuff. We saw the control rooms at CNN. They showed us, you know, when they show a web page on CNN, this is the computer they use for the screen capture and all that random little stuff. It was very, very neat.
He was on the Nashville 2600 mailing list for a couple of years. I know he came to Freaknik at least once. And I think he got things hadn't quite dot bombed everywhere yet, and I believe he headed out to the West Coast,
if I
remember correctly.
We had a few random CNN contacts and a few various people in the scene.
We can go back and check the archives, but yeah, I remember this. If I see the dude's email address, I'll remember it specifically, but I just have to go back and check the archives.
Yeah, that was definitely there's 2 years, two legendary years of a given HackerCon, SummerCon there. If anything, CNN is when everything went right, perhaps. Everything went very, very good.
We were lucky.
One hotel room.
Oh, God, do you remember the rat?
Oh, yeah, the rat's in CNN Center. CNN Center, as he was explaining, is huge. Right? This one, the room.
So the hotel, the Omni, used to be exterior. Yeah. And
we were on the balcony. Right?
Looking from about 12 stories down into what used to be an outdoor plaza restaurant thing. And we were looking down not just into the tables where everyone, you know, sat on the outside part when it was under the sunlight and outside, but back into the curtained kitchen area behind. And we were looking down from 12 stories up and went, what is that? Oh my God, that's a rat running through the kitchen area. So. I had a laser pointer with me, so we played Dot the Rat. We would put the pointer on the floor, and the first rat was like, what's that? And would go bouncing up to sniff at it, so we would move the pointer around, and we were basically doing the Pied Piper thing. We were wound up leading the rats through the restaurant from 12 stories up, and then we're going, all right, we do not eat there tomorrow morning.
We did wind up eating there tomorrow morning or the next morning. But yeah, it was funny. That laser pointer was being passed off from person to person the whole night. Those rats were so tired by the next day.
They got a workout. Yeah, so yeah, I definitely, if you CNN Complex is a cool place to visit, but definitely check like the health code inspection reports before you eat anything there.
So, are there any questions related to hacking? Those are some stories.
I think we kind of turned into social engineering. Okay,
no,
who's up next?
It's fan fiction.
Oh, we can take them. They're pussies. No, I'm kidding.
All right, folks, it's been fun. It really has. Hope to see you next year.
Thank you. Or hell, come to Freaknik.
Yeah, come to Freaknik. Definitely come to Freaknik. There won't be anybody running around with guns.
We have a strict no gun policy at the convention.
Actually, we do enforce a no gun policy at Freaknik.
Is it about BSD that makes
carry
it so
permits
secure and
don't count?